Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Right now at 6, UNC Chapel Hill says protesters have to start leaving now. But this is a live look at the campus right now, where those rallies have just started again in the last 10 minutes or so. We'll tell you about what school officials are saying about them taking those tents down.
I'm tracking a cold front that's brought a lot of severe storms to the country. I'll show you what it brings to us later today and tomorrow.
And today, Wake County Public School educators and transportation staff are fighting, rallying for raises. Just ahead, a look at what some of those employees this morning had to say here at the transportation complex.
Tonight, the Canes have another chance to finish off the New York Islanders. What Coach Rod Brendamore says the team needs to do to close out the first round. Stop thinking about that double overtime loss on the road, right? And just focus on this next game coming up and the job at hand. Good morning, everyone. We have a beautiful sunrise. Our job is to get you started. We are following big stories from Raleigh to Charlotte. We have you covered. I'm Renee Chu.
And I'm Jeff Hogan. Thanks for making us part of your Tuesday. Yes, maybe something to cheer about tonight. Take our minds off of things. A heavy, heavy news day today to get to. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRAL Severe Weather Center right now with a beautiful sunrise there.
It looks gorgeous out there. We do have some increasing clouds that you can see, making for a pretty sunrise here in Roxborough. Just a little bit of light breeze there. Our wind is coming out of the south. West at 6 miles per hour, and our temperatures across the area are in the low to mid 60s right now. Later on today, this cold front will cross the mountains and move into our area. Once it crosses the mountains, it is going to weaken significantly. It is sending some high thin clouds our way this morning, and we'll see partly cloudy skies through the afternoon. Our best chance of any rain ahead of that front is likely to be in our southern or eastern counties. It's going to be just a quick little shower, not much rain. Most of us won't even see any of it today. Tomorrow, same story. We're going to start off with a little bit of cloud cover and a quick shower or a sprinkle, possibly an isolated thunderstorm from Rocky Mount to Goldsboro to Clinton or eastward. But again, not much rain out of that. It looks like perhaps a little better chance as we get into the weekend. Our tower is lit in blue this morning. The sun is starting to come up. Our skies are still mostly clear. It is 59 in Roxboro, 61 in Southern Pines, 62 in Rocky Mount and Goldsboro. So mostly in the low 60s as you're stepping out the door this morning. It's a quick warm up. We hit 80 degrees at lunchtime. We'll be in the mid 80s for highs this afternoon. It is going to be a hot week ahead. I'll show you how close we'll get to 90 this week. We still haven't gotten there yet, and we might later in the week. Ken?
And 602, Elizabeth, checking traffic around the triangle, just all the major thoroughfares in and out of the capital city this morning. Free and clear, 87 coming in from Wendell, the Beltline, I-40, nothing really to report this morning, which is good news because you want to get to your work and school on time. Elsewhere in the triangle, in Chapel Hill and Durham, nothing to report in terms of the I-40 and 85, 885 looking smoothly this morning. And this is really backing up what we're seeing on the sensors as we give you a live look at I-87 and Hodge Road there in Nidale. But if anything pops up, we'll keep you updated.
603 right now, and things are happening as UNC administrators say a pro-Palestinian encampment on campus has to start dispersing. And WRL's Kelsey Coffey is live on campus this morning. There's a lot going on there behind you. Kelsey, this school just issued the announcement in the last 10 minutes.
Jeff, police have just arrived now, so they're trying to vacate the area. They've been moving tents out of the way, ripping them now as students have been refusing to leave. We've seen them protesting, chanting Free Palestine for the past 10 or 15 minutes or so. We just had a statement come in from UNC administration saying that they had to leave by 6 a.m. So at this point now, the police are here. Students are banding together, they're holding hands, they're linking arms at this point. Right now I see a police officer dragging a student, just drag them by their hair. Another student is down, one student has a helmet that just fell off. Police officer is now holding that student. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I'm seeing at least 10 students right now linking arms. You're watching officers right now trying to contain a student. There's at least a dozen officers in the area at this point. They're just scattered. I see multiple officers across the other way. Oh, there's a table that's gone up now. and students are still protesting here. I'm going to step out of the way so I don't get hit by a table that just went flying in the air. Students are still linking arms, trying to ensure that the officers will not take them down. And if you can hear them, they're screaming, "We will not bow, we will not bend." We'll take a moment now as I'm trying to step out of the way for my own safety. So more students are banding together. I see them using tables as a way to protect themselves.
And don't you go poisoning our children.
And this is four officers now. They're all on top of a student. That student is laying there on the ground. I believe they're going in handcuffs. And again, this comes as UNC administrators just released a statement just before 6 a.m. saying that these students would have to leave. There's at least two students on the ground right now with officers. So Jeff, Renee, I'll send it back to you guys as we're continuing to monitor this.
Kelsey, if you can hear us, I know it's loud there. If you can hear us, we've been on this scene for 5 days now covering this, and I know you've been there for several as well. Just give me a sense of how quickly this ramped up, because that announcement came. We've been on the air since 4:30, and it's been very quiet there. This is all happening in the last 15 minutes. What was the announcement, and what was the reaction that sparked this fire right now? Understood there, Kelsey, getting to safety there and still providing us with these live pictures, though. But Renee, as we were saying, 4:30 we came on the air. Everybody was asleep. This was quiet. About 10 minutes before 6, we heard an announcement from the campus community there telling them that 6 a.m., got to go. And police showed up on the spot and off they went.
And Jeff, we've made sure to have a crew there at UNC campus, given what has been happening on other campuses across the country, as we've seen the unrest from these pro-Palestinian protests and these tent encampments. So far, for 5 days, there had been peaceful activity there on UNC's campus. This is the first time that we've seen police here on the scene interacting with those protesters, and even handling, zip tying some of them, and even coming into contact with those protesters. We're trying to figure out exactly how it escalated into this, if there was some kind of, as you said, Jeff, some kind of spark that precipitated this. Just only a half hour ago, a lot of the protesters were there in their tents, sleeping. They were quiet. There was one announcement on the bullhorn that we couldn't quite make out of the protesters talking with some of the other people there in the tent village. But when police showed up, the confrontations began there.
Yeah, certainly curious to know what that announcement was from the bullhorn, whether it was from an official or whether it was relaying a message from officials about what was going to happen. And it was the group rallying here, protesting here, just alerting them that, listen, police are on their way. Let's get up. Something ignited this, though. Something sparked this because it escalated quickly. There are dozens of police officers there, as far as we can tell. And Renee, as you said, 5 days now. And as we watch the country explode in some of these on-campus incidents and some of the physical altercations, now blocking a police vehicle there, that's going to get you carted off. But, you know, some of the other campuses responding with some physical violence and police interaction, we have not seen that at all. This has been one of the more peaceful. Even students saying that they're not worried about graduation coming into question about whether or not that would be canceled or adjusted in any way. This has been one of the more peaceful campuses up until this very point.
Clearly, things really escalated here in the 6 o'clock hour as we are showing you live what's happening here from photojournalist Mark Alexic, showing you the officers pushing back some of these protesters as they surround this police vehicle. Campus police there putting their hands on some protesters, pushing them back physically, trying to keep them from getting in the way of this police vehicle. And just moments ago, we also saw them zip tying at least one protester's hands behind the back and transporting that person off campus. But this really escalated here just within the minutes as you are looking live here on our morning news, thanks to this live picture from photojournalist Mark Alexic. Oh, and the signal just froze there for a moment.
Yeah, this is in the last 12 minutes or so that we heard an announcement, and some of these protesters just sprung into action from a very quiet tent encampment. Everybody up now with the alert that the police would be coming in at 6 and moving some of those folks out. We have seen them physically moving some out. We have seen them moving some tents out of that area, just tearing some things down, and there's some more on the way right there. I mean, this is just an upheaval of that particular area, just trying to end this encampment situation here.
It appears objects are now being overturned and thrown. Well, that is an air mattress that a police officer just threw to get out of the way there. Earlier, there was a table that was overthrown. These are not just students from UNC. We know that there are students from other campuses like Duke University joining in on this protest that as they set up these tents there starting Friday. And while the university has asked them to leave and allow them to be there, we had not seen any forcible push or move from officers until today. You now see that they are telling that crowd to disperse.
Yeah, it's shocking. Mark Alexic, our photojournalist here, is right in the middle of everything that's happening here. You can understand getting bounced around a little bit while that signal's coming in and out. But Kelsey Coffey is on the ground there as well. And from her reporting, listening earlier about setting the scene and how these folks were just quiet and ready to go. They were on the move yesterday. They moved some of their tents. Morehead Planetarium was a location for them. They marched, they protested, they rallied, but nothing as physical or as confrontational as we have seen to this point so far.
Okay. And Jeff, our crews have been covering these protesters over the past few days, talking to them about what they are protesting, what they're demanding, not just a ceasefire in Gaza, but also they want the university to divest funding to stop doing business with Israeli companies and businesses that may profit from the war in Gaza. We've reestablished communication with Kelsey Coffey, our reporter out there. Kelsey, go ahead and tell us how you've been able to distance yourself a little bit, but also keeping an eye on what's happening out there.
Right. So, Renee, at this point, we've seen police take away one student, and as that process was happening, students were trying to link arms in front of the car to ensure that they wouldn't leave, but they were able to leave. Right now, we're still seeing students linking arms. They've essentially created a barricade at this point to try to ensure that no one else is taken away. So right now, officers are screaming, time to go, leave now. And these students are refusing to leave, still protesting. Dozens of students are still here in the area, and this, of course, comes after UNC administration just made an announcement that students would have to vacate by 6 a.m. So at this point, it's been about 15 minutes or so since then. Students are holding signs that say Free Palestine. Also seeing signs that say ceasefire now, of course. They are calling for a ceasefire in Gaza, and they're also asking the university to stop any type of business deals or any
financial investments with any affiliation with Israel. So at this point, the environment is pretty chaotic. Several students are screaming. Many of them are masked right now. I see an umbrella going up. There's another student there that seems to be taken down by some police. They just hit the floor. Officers are trying to detain them right now. Just give me 1 second as I orient myself to find my photographer here. So right now, officers are essentially trying to build their own barricade to keep all of these students away from the tent. So most of these tents have been toppled over. A few of them are still standing. I'm going to step away a little bit from the crowd now just so I can get a better view of everything. You can see officers now on your screen telling students to move back. But these students are still just yelling, trying to make their voices heard. Again, this comes just after UNC administration made an announcement that they will ask students to vacate. This is now day 5 of this demonstration here on the quad. So we'll keep you posted on what's going on out here. Jeff,
and Kelsey, it's interesting. The tactic that we're watching the police officers using right now, that it appears they are forming that line.
Live from WRAL News headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
It has been about 2 hours since WRAL first brought you coverage of protesters being arrested on UNC Chapel Hill's campus. We are going to have a live report in just a bit, as we have now learned a few more details about who specifically was arrested.
From a war zone to a crime scene, the latest on the investigation in Charlotte after a shooting leaves 4 officers dead, 4 wounded.
I'm tracking a cold front that will weaken as it comes across the mountains, but still bring us a chance of showers and storms over the next couple of days. I'll show you the timeline.
So, of course, obviously, we have the situation that's unfolded out in Charlotte. We've got the situation on UNC Chapel Hill's campus. And even here locally, an officer that was stabbed. We're going to keep getting you more on those stories. But first, we want to say good morning and thank you for joining us here on WRAL News and Fox 50. I'm Chris Lovingood.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey. Yeah, we have a lot to get to this morning. But first, we're going to get outside to the WRAL weather patio to Elizabeth Gardner with a look at our summer-like temperatures again today.
It's going to be another warm one with temperatures in the mid-80s, but it's pleasantly cool out here in the gardens this morning. Absolutely beautiful. The birds are chirping and having a big old time with this gorgeous start to the day. 66 right now as you're heading out the door in the triangle. Our wind is out of the southwest at 11 miles per hour. Definitely a little bit of a breeze starting to kick up here. We can see some gusts this afternoon up to around 15 to 20 miles per hour. Very similar to yesterday. This front has a history of producing severe storms as it's come across the country. It will weaken, however, as it comes across the mountains, which is definitely good news for us. We're not likely to see a lot of severe storms out of this, but we will see the clouds thickening up as we get through the day today. There's lunchtime, a small chance of a shower during the afternoon. You can see at 5 o'clock, it's pretty quiet, but an isolated shower pops up here or there this evening, and we'll have the same chance of a shower or even an isolated thunderstorm for tomorrow. Today it's just a 20% chance, so most of us will stay dry, but it's warm. We'll see highs in the mid 80s. Coming up, we'll have a better chance for rain over the weekend. I'll show you what the possibilities are where you are coming up.
Elizabeth, a busy traffic map here in the 8 o'clock hour, but there are a few crashes I want to bring your attention to. This one happened just in the last 15 minutes on Avon Ferry Road near Crescent Creek Drive. Right now, it's not causing any bit of a backup. Just about 10 minutes ago, there was a lot of brake tapping going on in that area, but clearly it's in the clearing phases and probably off to the side, but still look for that police activity if you're in that area. This is a crash investigation that's happening on Six Forks Road near Strickland Road there in North Raleigh. We're not seeing any major issues there in that particular intersection of Six Forks Road and Strickland Road, but watch for that police activity and make sure you slow down in that area to give those law enforcement officers an opportunity to work that scene safely. This serious crash on Highway 98, this is up in Wake Forest. This is a Highway 98 area. We're working to figure out exactly what this particular backup is because it's not necessarily close to where that crash is happening. As soon as we get any more information about what's causing that bumper-to-bumper traffic there in Wake Forest, we'll, of course, let you know. Elsewhere in the triangle, that crash on Wendell and near Wendell Falls Parkway definitely cleared. We'll keep track of any other issues that pop up in our traffic center.
If you can. And we, of course, want to keep showing you video from this morning. On the right part of your screen, that is when WREL was there on UNC Chapel Hill's campus as protesters were being arrested there. The university was very clear that at 6 o'clock this morning, people had until that time to leave. And then we saw it unfold as it was happening.
Yeah, this is a pro-Palestinian protest that is happening on UNC's campus. We've been covering this for the past 5 days, and it has, like you mentioned, remained peaceful until this morning. Again, they had that deadline of 6 o'clock this morning. They did not move off the campus, so that is when police had to step in. WREL's Kelsey Coffey has been there for all the action this morning. Kelsey, police haven't had to use any sort of tear gas or other similar methods so far this morning. And we've also heard that they're moving to a different location. The protesters were saying they wanted to move.
Michelle, they've dispersed from campus at this point, so you can see the quad here now only has just some officers that are gathered. It looks like the protesters have left Free Gaza written in chalk. They have flags and one other sign left here. But let's just give you a look now at video from around 6 o'clock this morning when officers first arrived at that encampment. We've just been told within the last 30 minutes that protesters will be moving towards the Orange County Courthouse as multiple protesters were arrested. We're trying to get a number on exactly how many protesters were arrested, but UNC did release a statement saying that those protesters were not students, nor did they have any type of affiliation with the university. So we'll be sure to stay on top of this and keep you updated. Kelsey Coffey, WREL News, live in Chapel Hill.
And this morning, people across the state and the nation are in mourning. This is because four law enforcement officers were shot and killed in Charlotte yesterday. Four others were injured. And Charlotte police identified the suspected shooter as Terry Hughes Jr. Authorities say officers were trying to serve him felony warrants when Hughes started shooting from inside the home. In addition to the four law enforcement officers killed, again, four others were injured and are in the hospital. We're still trying to see how they're doing. WREL's Eric Miller is in Charlotte this morning. Eric, I'm looking behind you. Your scene looks very different than it was about an hour ago. Tell me a little bit about what's changed.
Well, Chris, just within the last 30 minutes, we've seen that officer who was posted out here in this East Charlotte neighborhood, keeping part of the street shut down. He's finally moved out of the way as officers focus in on this home where this tragedy played out.
Overnight, a somber procession for a fallen comrade. Fellow officers flanking the body of Charlotte Mecklenburg PD's Joshua Iyer from the hospital to the medical examiner's office. Iyer being remembered Tuesday morning as a dedicated community servant and father, one of four killed in this East Charlotte neighborhood. Two other fallen officers, corrections officers, and members of the U.S. Marshals Task Force were identified late Monday as Sam Peloche and Alden Elliott. The fourth officer killed, a deputy U.S. Marshal, hasn't been identified. Their deaths prompting a nationwide outpouring of support, including from President Joe Biden, who called the men heroes. The shooting started just after 5 p.m. Tense moments and repeated rounds of gunfire captured in videos from neighbors as officers tried to serve a warrant to this man, 39-year-old Terry Hughes Jr. Hughes wanted for possession of a firearm by a convicted felon. For neighbors, it sounded like a war was playing out in their own backyards.
So I heard a few seconds went by, I heard 10 more, and I was like, something is really going on. Then I heard the police sirens, and then from there, it was rapid fire.
Yeah, rapid fire, scary moments out here for neighbors. Now, Terry Hughes Jr. was shot and killed in that exchange of gunfire with police. Two women who were inside the home with Hughes were taken to Charlotte police for questioning. Again, four officers do remain in the hospital this morning. We're working to learn more about their condition. We'll bring you those details as we get them in Charlotte. Eric Miller, WREL News.
And our team coverage from Charlotte will continue throughout the day. WREL's Monica Casey is also there. She'll have live reports starting at noon.
And WREL is following breaking news as investigators in Fairmont say that a police officer in Robinson County is in the hospital because they were stabbed several times. The officer shot and killed the person who was stabbing him. This happened around 8:30 last night, and WREL is trying to learn how that officer is doing this morning. But the names of the officer and the person who was shot and killed have not been released.
This morning, teachers and bus drivers in Wake County Public Schools are making their voices heard. They want school leaders to include pay bumps for them in the next budget. WREL's Laura Levine is live at Abbotts Creek Elementary. And Laura, right now, teachers are planning to walk into the school together in solidarity.
Hey, Michelle, good morning. Yes, the program just now getting underway here at Abbotts Creek Elementary. Behind me, you can see there's folks approaching this little podium here, really speaking out about why they're here and why they are doing this. But you can see the crowd of educators with signs that say fair pay equals teachers stay. And this is exactly why they are here. Wake Schools employees are calling for the Board of Education to honor their previous commitments by including a raise to the local supplement by at least 4% for all Wake County Public School staff in their proposed budget. Earlier this morning, we were at the transportation complex where I spoke with NCAA President Christina Spears, who says this is a necessity for employees.
It's disappointing. It's frustrating because this plan is part of the multi-year plan that the board has previously voted on 3 or 4 times. So we were hopeful we would see those raises. So that's why we're here this morning to apply some additional pressure so these folks can get the raises they deserve.
Now, a total of 7 schools are participating in this today, along with Abbotts Creek. We have Banks Road Elementary, Green Hope High School, South Garner High School, Turner Creek Elementary, Wilburn Elementary, and Wildwood Forest Elementary School. So after they gather here, they plan to kind of line up along where the carpool line is here that is beginning to form and just kind of greet people who are arriving, handing out signs and things of that nature. And then they will walk into school and begin their day. Laura Levine, WREL News. We're live in Raleigh.
Coming up for us, the age-old question, should I rent or buy a home? We look into a new report that answers which is cheaper, and we'll look specifically at Raleigh numbers.
And experts say teenagers who vape are more likely to be exposed to toxic metals in their bodies. But there's at least some positive outlook in new information released. We'll explain that in just a bit.
And we're looking at another hot day today. Our temperatures are going to climb into the mid-80s. We do have a small chance of a shower today and the potential for a few isolated storms tomorrow. I'll walk you through the timeline coming up. It's a beautiful morning out here on the patio. Gorgeous sunshine. There are going to be a few more clouds today than we've seen the last couple of days. We have a cold front approaching us later on today. Right now, taking a live look at the gardens, just beautiful. Temperatures are in the mid-60s. Our wind is southwest at 11 miles per hour, so it is a little bit breezy. We're going to see some gusts later today, up to around 15 miles per hour. Here comes a cold front. That front will move across the mountains as we get through the day today and help to bring us a chance of some showers later on this evening. It's going to be light and patchy for us today and again tomorrow as this front stalls across our area. This is the same front that produced a lot of severe storms across the country, but we are looking at weaker conditions as that front moves through here. Notice as we get through the afternoon, we'll see some clouds thickening up. We'll see a little bit of sunshine in a few places. That front moves on in, and during the evening, say 6 or 7 o'clock, we'll have a few isolated showers that you can see there in some of our southern counties, and that continues into our eastern counties up around 9 o'clock. But again, the coverage of this is really minimal. We'll see less than a tenth of an inch of rain. On Wednesday, tomorrow, we wake up to some cloud cover. We'll end up with a chance of a few isolated thunderstorms in our southeastern counties as we head through the afternoon between, say, 4 and 5 o'clock, ending around 6 or 7. Again, most of us don't end up seeing that rain with that system on Wednesday. Thursday and Friday, we are nice and dry, but that means that you may need to do some watering because what we see today and tomorrow will be negligible. So get out those watering cans and the hoses because it's really pretty dry out there. We'll see dry conditions Thursday and Friday, but Saturday and Sunday, we do have a better chance for rain. Right now, it looks like afternoon and evening thunderstorms. It'll be a little bit of a taste of summer. This is a look at Saturday at 8 a.m., though, and you can see on this version of Futurecast that rain getting pretty close to us in the morning. That could be an issue for the Race for the Cure. We are proud sponsors of that race, so we'll continue to watch Saturday very closely. We'll get the high-resolution models in a little later this week, and that'll give us a little more specific look at what time the rain arrives. You can see that rain potential continues into Sunday. There's Sunday at lunchtime and then into the afternoon. So it looks like it may be a somewhat wet weekend. Again, mainly afternoon and evening thunderstorms. How much rainfall? Well, we need a good soaking. And the new run of the computer model came in with 1 to 2 inches of rain in some places, and we definitely do need it. It's going to be hot for parts of the week. Certainly, we climb up to 89 on Friday. Looks like the hottest day of the week, almost that 90-degree mark.
Elizabeth, we're following some breaking news here in the WR Traffic Center. I want to give you this live look now at I-40 and Wade Avenue. You can see that crash right there that's happening involving a couple of vehicles. Right now, DOT crews are trying to close at least two lanes so that at least those lanes are now just merging into the two far right lanes. We're monitoring this for the last 10, 15 minutes, and we've seen that absolute backup that's happening there in the westbound lanes. What you're seeing in the eastbound lanes are probably just people slowing down. The morning congestion that we see this morning, just wanting to see exactly what's happening. But if you know of anyone heading in this direction on I-40 westbound, let them know there's a huge backup right now starting just before the Kerry Harrison exit there on I-40 westbound. But we'll keep monitoring this for any other major delays that happen in the area here in the WRA Traffic Center.
Looks like a mess out there. Thank you, Ken. It's a bit quieter on UNC Chapel Hill's campus this morning after we have seen, starting at 6 o'clock this morning, pro-Palestinian protesters being arrested there on campus. Things have escalated at one point, but again, things are a little quieter now at this hour.
Yeah, we've been covering this for the past 5 days, and it's remained peaceful until this morning when police had to move in. Protesters were given that deadline this morning of 6 a.m. to move their encampment. They did not. That is when police moved in. Kelsey Coffey was there for everything this morning. She is still there on campus. Kelsey, we know that police officers, they haven't had to use tear gas or anything like that to clear the campus, but we do know that protesters have moved the Orange County Courthouse, correct?
Michelle, we know that they have plans to do that. We're not sure if they're actually there just yet. But behind me is Girard Hall, where some officers are still standing outside of the door. I did see one protester who appeared to be very emotional. And she said that she was taken back by police but did not want to go on camera for an interview. So we did hear from UNC. They said that some of the protesters that were taken by police were not students, nor did they have any affiliation with the university. We're showing you video now of that moment when where everything happened. Just after 6 o'clock this morning is when police came to the quad where most of those protesters were set up in an encampment. And that's been up for the past 5 days. So we've been following this along, and we'll be sure to head to the courthouse, send some crews there too, in case those protesters have already headed out there. Kelsey Coffey, WRL News, live in Chapel Hill.
President Biden says he'll make another visit to North Carolina this week. He'll be in Wilmington on Thursday. The Democratic Party tells WRL that the president plans to discuss infrastructure and environmental issues. They did not give an exact time or location for the president's visit.
The U.S. military is building a floating pier off the coast of Gaza to help deliver humanitarian aid. Yesterday, the Pentagon said this project will cost $320 million to complete. The U.S. says it is prepared to operate the pier for several months, and the goal is to deliver 150 truckloads of aid each day to Gaza.
Florida's new six-week abortion ban is set to take effect tomorrow. The new law has sparked protests across the state. It'll override the state's current 15-week ban. An amendment to protect the right to an abortion is on the state's November ballot.
The appeals court ruled North Carolina discriminated against transgender patients on the state health plan. These are people who want gender-affirming care. 750,000 employees and their family members get insurance through the state. This ruling by the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals likely affects hundreds of these people. State Treasurer Dale Folwell, a Republican, runs the health plan, and he criticized the decision, saying it will raise costs, and he could appeal the U.S. Supreme Court on this issue.
The USDA has started testing beef, including the ground beef you buy from grocery stores, for the bird flu virus. The virus has been spreading in dairy cattle, and the USDA said it's doing three separate beef safety studies. One includes sampling ground beef bought at grocery stores in states where dairy cattle had tested positive for the bird flu. The agency says it's confident that meat supply is safe.
A UNC Chapel Hill student isn't letting a diagnosis of Hodgkin's lymphoma slow him down. James Blizzard, he says that he isn't letting the blood cancer define him. He is living life to the fullest, even running the Boston Marathon. Blizzard said that he first noticed a lump on his neck while he was in class, and his oncologist says that the cancer was caught early and that it's very treatable. He already had plans to run the Boston Marathon, and he used that as a goal to help him through treatment.
I think it's probably one of the most challenging mentally sports, and I think like it helped prepare me, I guess, for the battle that I was facing.
He also raised money for the Leukemia Lymphoma Society along the way, and he plans to run the Berlin Marathon next month and will use that as another fundraiser.
A new study from Bankrate is giving perspective over which is cheaper, renting or buying a house. The study looked at typical monthly mortgage payments and rent, and right now rent is cheaper. The average mortgage payment was just over $2,700 a month, while the average rent was about $1,979 a month. That Bankrate study found the typical monthly rate in the Raleigh metro area is about $1,700, while the typical monthly mortgage is about $2,600.
Buying a home is pretty expensive due to high mortgage rates, high home prices, and there's also a lot of competition in the market because there is low inventory.
And renting a home is now cheaper than buying one in all 50 of the largest U.S. cities.
A tornado pulled two brothers in Nebraska from their home, and they survived. Roger Slatton says that he left for work when a friend called to tell him a tornado was near his house. Well, he turned around to alert his brother Royce and get him into the basement. But before they could get there, the tornado ripped them from the home.
The house pulled a vacuum, and we could just hear, you know, the windows just go boom. They all exploded, and under our feet, the floor went kind of, it jolted a couple times, and then we just took off.
The brothers flew through the air and ended up pinned beneath rubble. You see the injuries they see there on their back. Royce needed 22 stitches, and Roger suffered multiple cuts and bruises. But both brothers say they are so lucky that they survived. Goodness.
Thank goodness they are alive. Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, teens who vape have a higher risk of exposure to lead and uranium. That's according to a new study from the journal Tobacco Control. The study's authors found that among teens who vaped intermittently, those lead levels were 40% higher than compared with occasional vapers. And experts say the metal exposure could harm brain and organ development. A bit of good news, though, the amount of high schoolers who use e-cigarettes decreased by more than 4%. Between 2022 and 2023. Coming up, the Carolina Hurricanes have the chance to close out the first round of the playoffs. Why head coach Rod Brind'Amour wants his team to stay grounded and not let one loss lose their motivation.
As you get into your car, tune to WRAL News Plus on your radio in Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.
Good morning. Happy Tuesday. Time now is 8:26. I'm Michelle McConaughey with your top stories. We are following breaking news out of UNC Chapel Hill. We're in the last 90 minutes. Police there have moved in to remove pro-Palestinian protesters on that campus. This is video from earlier this morning, about 6 o'clock this morning. We have been covering this protest for the past 5 days. It has remained mostly peaceful until 6 o'clock this morning. That's when the protesters were given a deadline to move their encampment. When they did, police had to move in and make those arrests. WRAL's Kelsey Coffey, she is live there on UNC Chapel Hill's campus, and she will have the latest coming up for us in our 8 o'clock hour, 8:30 hour on Fox 50. Let's get outside to meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner. She has the latest forecast. Nice warm one today.
Oh, it's a pretty morning out here on the patio. Our temperature is 65 in Wilson, 66 in Durham, 66 in Fayetteville. You can see the whirligig spinning just lightly, but we may see some gusts later on up to around 15 miles per hour. Starting off with clear skies this morning, but we'll end up with some cloud cover increasing this afternoon. We have a small chance of a shower late today, especially south and east of the triangle. Still going to be a hot one with highs in the mid-80s this afternoon.
Elizabeth, we're following some breaking news here in the WRAL Traffic Center. This crash happened within the last half hour. It's on I-40 and Wade Avenue, just before the Kerry Harrison exit there. You can see two lanes are completely blocked as law enforcement officers work that scene, and traffic is merging into the two right far lanes. We're working to get more information about that, but as you might imagine, you can expect some delays heading into that area. When it comes to I-40 West, 440 to the Beltline, you're adding about a 10-minute delay. So give yourself some extra time this morning.
All right. Thanks, Ken. Next on Fox 50, we check back in with a protest at UNC Chapel Hill.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Police removed pro-Palestinian demonstrators from UNC's campus. Coming up, what we know about the progress of the protest.
And now at 8:30, with four officers killed and four others injured on the job in Charlotte, people across the state and the nation are in mourning. We'll take you to Charlotte for a live update on that story.
And I'm tracking a cold front that's likely to bring us a few isolated showers late today and maybe a storm tomorrow. I'll show you the timeline.
Wake County Public School employees have just walked into school here at Abbotts Creek Elementary as they're fighting for better pay just ahead. A look at their message ahead of this afternoon's school board meeting.
Yeah, that story and so many more stories we have to cover this morning. But first, we want to say thank you for joining us here at 8:30 on WREL News on Fox 50. I'm Chris Lovingood.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey. We are starting out nice weather-wise, another warm summer-like day. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner, she's so lucky. She's outside right now on the WREL weather patio with our forecast 80s again today.
It is a beautiful place to be. I'll tell you what, this is a live look at the gardens this morning. Nice and quiet out here, feeling very pleasant. We take a look at our current temperature, 66 degrees, so very comfortable. We do have a southwest wind at 11 miles per hour, and it is likely to be a little breezy today, very similar to what we saw yesterday. We've been following this front for the last several days. It has caused a lot of damage as it's moved from west to east over the plains and through parts of the southeast. Once it crosses the mountains, it will be much weaker. So we're looking at a few isolated showers. Increasing clouds, definitely a good bit more cloud cover than we saw yesterday, and it'll be cloudy from time to time with some sun peeking through. We'll pause it there at 5 o'clock, and you can see in our southern counties the potential for a few isolated showers that start to pop up across the area, but we're not likely to see very much rain out of this. You can see at about 8 o'clock a little line that starts to head in our direction. So let's take a look at our hour by hour forecast. Yes, it is going to be another hot one. We climb to 80 degrees by lunchtime, and our highs are in the mid 80s for this afternoon. We have a better chance for rain over the weekend. I'll show you when to expect it so you can perhaps plan around it coming up.
Elizabeth, we continue to follow some breaking news here in the WREL Traffic Center. This is a live look courtesy of our traffic camera there on I-40 and Wade Avenue. This is a crash that happened within the last hour or so. You can see the vehicles involved are off to the side of the road right there. But about 10 minutes ago, both left-hand lanes were blocked. But right now, they've only blocked off one lane, and the rest of the traffic is merging into the three remaining lanes. But we're working to get more information in terms of when that crash scene will be cleared. But it appears that they might be wrapping up their investigation, but we'll keep an eye on that for you and keep you posted here in the WREL Traffic Center. Elsewhere around the Triangle, we're seeing a handful of crashes this morning, not causing too much delay. What you're seeing right there is that crash that we've just told you about there in the westbound lanes of I-40. We're also hearing about a crash in the eastbound lane of I-40 in the Chapel Hill area. About 10 minutes ago, it was causing some brake tapping going on there in that area, but clearly you can see the traffic is flowing nicely in both directions.
Thank you, Ken. And we continue to follow that breaking news on UNC Chapel Hill's campus. We want to bring you a video here on the right-hand side of your screen. That is from this morning when police moved in just after 6 a.m. To arrest some protesters there. They had until 6 o'clock this morning to move their encampment off of UNC's campus. They did not do that, and that is why the police responded like that.
And we've been covering this, right? It's been going on for at least 5 days there at the campus, and it's mainly remained peaceful. Things obviously escalated this morning. Protesters were given a deadline of 6 a.m. to move that encampment again. They did not, and so that's when we saw police move in. But WREL's Kelsey Coffey is live on campus still this morning. Kelsey, it's a lot quieter this morning. Tell us a little bit about where the protesters may have headed right now.
Well, Chris, just within the last 30 minutes, we got word from the Orange County Sheriff's Office that any protesters that were arrested were taken to the magistrate's office. And right now, we are just outside of one of the buildings here on campus where police are standing outside. Some students have been released from this building, so we're working to find out their identity and get any more information. But protesters just about 45 minutes ago said that they will be headed to the Orange County Courthouse to continue protesting there. So we'll be sure to keep you updated as we will follow this throughout the day. Kelsey Coffey, WREL News, live in Chapel Hill.
And Jeff Hogan in the WRL Live Center story we have been following all throughout the morning here. I want to show you this picture right now because the reason that North Wake College and Career Academy was closed is because of this principal's death. Elizabeth Battle died yesterday, and a statement coming out from North Wake College and Career Academy from the assistant principal saying that with great sadness, she's writing this message to let folks at the school know that the principal died yesterday. Condolences, thoughts, and prayers going out to her family, honoring the family and being respectful of their need for privacy at this time. There are resources available that folks will find helpful to assist kids through this loss at the school. The student services team will be available to support any students who need that assistance as they move through what is a difficult time with the death of their well-known principal, Elizabeth Battle.
All right, thank you. This morning, many people are mourning the shooting deaths of four law enforcement officers in Charlotte. And just before 11 last night, Charlotte police identified the suspected shooter as Terry Hughes Jr. Authorities say officers were trying to serve him felony warrants when Hughes started shooting from inside the home. Four law enforcement officers were killed in total, and four are still being treated for injuries this morning. WREL's Eric Miller is live in Charlotte. He has been there since last night. Eric, I mean, one thing that's really gotten me this morning is that, yes, we've seen a reduced police presence, but you have a scene right there next to you. Show us a little bit about what you're standing next to right now.
Chris, we're getting our first look here at the scene where all of this played out, this home on Galway Drive. You take a look at this, this home absolutely ripped to pieces. You can see chunks of the walls, chunks of the windows, and as we pan up here, you can see mattresses, shirts, all of these personal belongings spilling out of the home. Neighbors here tell us all of this damage was caused by SWAT team members taking a vehicle, ramming it into the home multiple times as this terrible situation came to an end yesterday afternoon here in Charlotte. As you can see, shattered walls and broken brick, all that remains after a dark night.
Overnight, a somber procession for a fallen comrade. Fellow officers flanking the body of Charlotte Mecklenburg PD's Joshua Iyer from the hospital to the medical examiner's office. Iyer being remembered Tuesday morning as a dedicated community servant and father, one of four killed in this East Charlotte neighborhood. Two other fallen officers, corrections officers, and members of the U.S. Marshals Task Force were identified late Monday as Sam Peloche and Alden Elliott. The fourth officer killed, a deputy U.S. Marshal, hasn't been identified. Their deaths prompting a nationwide outpouring of support, including from President Joe Biden, who called the men heroes. The shooting started just after 5 p.m. Tense moments and repeated rounds of gunfire captured in videos from neighbors as officers tried to serve a warrant to this man, 41-year-old Terry Hughes Jr. Hughes wanted for possession of a firearm by a convicted felon. For neighbors, it sounded like a war playing out in their own backyards.
So I heard a few seconds went by, I heard like seven more. A few seconds went by, I heard like 10 more. And I was like, something is really going on. Then I heard the police sirens. And then from there, it was rapid fire.
Rapid fire, and you see the results of that right here. All of these bullet holes here in the side of this home, you see windows shattered, screens absolutely shredded. Now, Terry Hughes Jr., he was shot and killed here at this scene. Charlotte police also took two women who were inside this home who got pulled out after it was rammed by that SWAT vehicle. They took them to CMPD for questioning. We're still working to learn what exactly the results of that was here this morning. We also know those four officers are still being treated. We're working to learn their conditions as well. In Charlotte, Eric Miller, WRAL News.
And support is pouring in for the families of the officers who were killed. A GoFundMe page created by Back the Blue NC has raised more than $13,000 so far. Back the Blue NC is an organization that supports the families of fallen officers. It hopes to raise $250,000 for the families of the fallen officers.
And just checked that a couple seconds ago, Michelle, looks like it's at $23,570.
Wow. Amazing.
And we just learned in the last 20 minutes that Governor Cooper will join the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department for a news conference that is starting at 11 a.m. You can watch the press conference on WREL.com or WREL News Plus. Our team coverage from Charlotte will continue throughout the day, and WREL's Eric Miller and Monica Casey are both there. Monica will have live reports starting at noon today.
Wake County teachers and bus drivers are pushing for better pay. They are making their voices heard this morning ahead of a school board meeting that's happening this afternoon. WRL's Laura Levine is outside Abbotts Creek Elementary School this morning, and Laura, teachers will hold a walk-in protest there today. We just saw them outside just a little while ago.
Hey, Michelle, well, that walk-in just wrapped up about 10 minutes or so, and I was able to walk with some of those employees and speak with them before they walked through these doors here, but many of them talking about just why this is so crucial and necessary for them. Many of them, we've heard this earlier this morning as well, said that they're working 2 to 3 jobs just to make ends meet. Out here live, you can see the carpool line here as people are getting dropped off. There's still some people straggling along, ready to speak to some parents and even speak to any educators that may be out here, not a part of the local union, the North Carolina Association of Educators. But Wake Schools employees are calling for the Board of Education to honor their previous commitments by including a raise to the local supplement by at least 4% for all Wake County public school staff in their proposed budget. We know a total of 7 schools participated in the walk-ins today, all ahead of that meeting this afternoon where the Board of Education will review about 4 different proposals. Laura Levine, WRL News. We're live in Raleigh.
The Carolina Hurricanes will be back at PNC Arena tonight with a chance to move in on the Stanley Cup playoffs. Now, the Canes host the New York Islanders tonight. That is for Game 5 of their series. The Islanders avoided a sweep with a double overtime win in Game 4 on Saturday. And tonight's game will get started at 7:30.
Coming up, cicadas are beginning to emerge from the ground in the Triangle. What you need to know about the rare occurrence.
Gross. Also, a live look at Durham this morning. Beautiful morning there with some summer-like temperatures we're experiencing today, or expected to, that is. After the break, meteorologist Elizabeth Garner will tell us when we can expect some rain in our forecast.
It is 8:44 and a beautiful morning out here on the WRL weather patio. Take a live look at the gardens right now. There's a little bit of a breeze. Our temperature feels wonderful. We are going to see a few clouds on and off for today, but other than that, it should feel a good bit like yesterday, just a bit more cloud cover. Mid-60s right now, the southwest wind at around 11 miles per hour. We may see some gusts up to around 15 or 20 later this afternoon. We climb quickly to 80 at lunchtime, and our high will be 85 this afternoon. A cold front approaches us. This is the same front that's produced some severe storms across the country, especially parts of the plains and the Midwest and even down around Louisiana yesterday. Once it crosses the mountains, it will be much weaker. The mountains tend to protect us a good bit from some of the severe storms that other parts of the country see. So thankful for that, certainly. We'll see a mix of sun and clouds through the afternoon. The cold front gets a little closer to us, and by 9 o'clock, we start to see a few isolated showers or thunderstorms that pop up, say between 9 and midnight. And this is a new run of the computer models. Earlier this morning, it looked like it may be a little less coverage a little bit earlier. So we're still kind of fine-tuning the timeline on that for you today. And then on Wednesday, we'll likely see the front coming through. And along that front, even though there's not much showing up right now, we have seen the potential for a few scattered thunderstorms again on Wednesday afternoon and evening. Checking our wind speeds, it's coming up out of the southwest. And so that's what's bringing us these above normal temperatures again today and really all week long. So a southwest wind at about 10 to almost 15 right now, with some gusts at 15 to 20 miles per hour as we take a look at the rest of the day, hour by hour. 85 in Raleigh and Durham. We'll see 86 in Fayetteville for the high this afternoon. We're putting the dew point right there in the comfy zone. It is likely to creep on up toward tolerable, especially Saturday and Sunday, as we see a better chance for some rain. Saturday, the dew point's back up to around 64, and you'll probably notice that increase. Our temperature mid-70s is a normal. We're looking at mid to upper 80s for the rest of this week. That 89 there on Friday looks like the hottest day of the week. We're going to see some sunshine both Thursday and Friday. We have yet to hit 90 officially at RDU. Maybe we'll hit it on Friday. Of course, we have a chance of afternoon and evening storms on Saturday and Sunday, and the highs will be a little bit cooler then.
Elizabeth, we continue to follow this breaking news here in the WRL Traffic Center. This crash on I-40 in the westbound lanes is just before the Kerry Harrison exit. This one lane is blocked right there at that accident site. It looks like it involved a couple of vehicles. We're working to get more information, of course. All the other traffic trying to merge into the right 3 lanes. Right now, the last check, we were told that you're adding about 10 minutes to your drive time, but we'll keep an eye on this and keep you posted. Elsewhere around the triangle, all those crashes crashes that we've been telling you about officially cleared this morning, but a couple we want to bring to your attention this morning. This one happened on Avon Ferry Road in the southbound lane near Champions Court. It's not causing any issue, but we are seeing some brake tapping going on right there at Avon Ferry Road, so give yourself some extra time if that's part of your commute. This one on Western Boulevard near Poland Road, it's causing some bumper-to-bumper traffic there, but again, we'll keep an eye on that and let you know what's going on in the next hour of news right here on Fox 50.
All right. Thank you, Ken. And we continue to follow that breaking news on UNC Chapel Hill's campus. About 2.5 hours ago, that's when police moved in. Pro-Palestinian protests going on there this morning. There was a lot of unrest. Police said that they had until 6 o'clock this morning to move their encampments off of the their encampment off the campus. They did not do that. That is when police moved in and started forcibly removing the students as well as their tents.
Now, as that was happening, WREL's Kelsey Coffey, she was there and is still on campus this morning. Kelsey, we know this has obviously been something that started as a quiet morning. Things escalated a little bit, but it's a lot quieter even now at this hour where you are.
Chris, at this point, most of the protesters have dispersed, but we did get new information within the last 30 minutes from UNC police. They say that they detained approximately 30 people around 6 o'clock this morning. We'll give you a look now at video of that happening. Police say that they will take anyone who was arrested to the magistrate's office. We also heard from protesters who were here earlier this morning. They say that they are going to change location and go to the Orange County courthouse. So we're waiting to see if anyone shows up there. At this point, protesters are collecting themselves. They're calling their families. They're getting water, anything that they can do just to regroup and potentially reboot for another protest that could be happening at the Orange County courthouse. So we'll be sure to stay on top of this and keep you updated. Kelsey Coffey, WREL News, live in Chapel Hill.
The U.S. Navy announced a sailor died during training at Naval Weapons Station Yorktown in Virginia. This happened Sunday night around 8. Officials say the sailor was training on a boat in the York River. The sailor fell overboard and the injuries sustained from the fall, again, were fatal. That person died. An investigation is happening right now, but the identity of the sailor, that has not been released.
Meredith College could add a nursing program in the future. The Board of Trustees unanimously approved the plan. School leaders say the program aligns with their mission to prepare graduates to serve their communities. The potential program will be submitted to the North Carolina Board of Nursing for final approval.
More than 100 people called into a new hotline designed to help former prison inmates find jobs and housing. The Recidivism Reduction Call Center went live yesterday in North Carolina. That word, recidivism, means the tendency to relapse into criminal behavior. Emmanuel Snellings once served 8 years in prison and was recently laid off. So he called the hotline and got a job interview.
I can be, you know, a citizen of society. I mean, I can be the man of my household that I need to be, you know, because a lot of people doesn't understand that.
Social justice activist Kerwin Pittman created this hotline. It'll be staffed Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. And if you need to use the service, the number is right there on your screen, 1-888-852-0004.
A new behavioral health campus will open next month in Raleigh. Organizers cut the ribbon on the Wake Brook Behavioral Health Campus yesterday. The facility will provide Wake County with both behavioral and mental health services. It'll also have an alcohol and drug detoxification unit. Wake County Commissioner Cheryl Stalling says this clinic will help those in need in Wake County.
We know, unfortunately, the COVID pandemic just exacerbated the mental health needs, and Wake County, unfortunately, was no exception. But we are going to be bold with this initiative, with this partnership, and we're really excited. We're serious about providing really quality mental health care.
Facility will open in May.
A new blood test could help detect osteoarthritis before you even develop the symptoms. The research conducted by scientists at Duke studied 200 women in London. A blood test was able to spot a biomarker in women who developed osteoarthritis 8 years before the disease was picked up on an X-ray. Scientists say this test could help with early intervention in at-risk groups.
I think everybody agrees if you can treat it earlier, you're much more likely to be able to put the cow back in the barn and get the disease to be cured, in a sense, prevented, because it's just at a much less severe level.
Osteoarthritis is the most common form of arthritis. Women are 40% more likely to develop that than men.
Cicadas are starting to show up in the Triangle. This marks a rare occurrence in the U.S. when two broods of 13 and 17-year cicadas are emerging at the same time. The last time this happened was when Thomas Jefferson was president. The type of cicadas we'll see across North Carolina are a 13-year species. The cicadas emerge when the soil reaches about 64 degrees. It's a phenomenon that experts say could start sooner as temperatures get warmer.
With climate change, in a warmer spring and a warmer year, they're going to start coming out a little bit earlier than they might have in past emergences. So that's something certainly we see in other insects, like annual insects, just like the timing of butterflies and moths and caterpillars, things like that, is that timing is very dictated by temperature.
And the peak is usually in mid-May, but now experts say the peak is in early May. For more information on the cicada invasion, head to WREL.com and search bugs. According to Chris Lovingood, gross. Here's your winning lotteries. We'll be right back.